This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Spreading like fisting. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 799. Hell to the yeah, almost at 800. But, as I said, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans, this is the best and only Marking Out podcast, so make sure that you are subscribed and downloading wherever you are listening to podcasts, such as on Spotify. Hey, do you like t-shirts? Of course you do. Buy our t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook if you still do that stuff. Give us a follow on TikTok at markingout, on Twitter at markingout, on Instagram at markingout11. You can also check me out, Dave the Rave, on all social media platforms at DavidPTDPT. Yeah, I didn't know where I was going with that one. Follow Chris at CMSweeney85 and Chris Sweendog. And also, go give a follow to Brandon at BTTG161. Brandon, how are you?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
I am doing very good, very tired.
Big birthday
very good,
bash.
Very tired. Yes. Big birthday bash. Thanks for coming over for it.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
I mean, always the open invite, you know? But, yeah, birthday bash. It was good. It was very relaxing.
Any
nothing
cake?
Too crazy. Yes. I did have some cake.
Any good cake?
I had... I didn't have Carvel cake. So, automatically, you and I know that that's a
there's
a
multiple
fail of a
cakes
cake.
That are good cakes.
Nah, I don't know. I always feel like Carvel ice cream cake is the top notch, though.
Yeah.
Why? What else do you feel is a top notch birthday cake?
I mean, I'll eat cake in general is cake. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Well, I had some cheesecake, which was incredible.
From
I had
where?
Some cheesecake on my birthday. Not too sure. Not too sure. My parents brought it over. And then I had a pineapple cake at work, which was really good. I think it was from a Dominican place around us in Freeport, and that was really good. That was delicious.
And just 2 seconds ago, you were being like, "Oh well, cake sucks."
Well, I mean, I like ice cream. I like ice cream. You know, I could always go for an ice cream cake.
You gotta
always.
Put in a request, even pal. If it's your birthday, you gotta be like, "Oh, I would like for this to be my cake." And then somebody's like, "No, you can't have this cake. I'm gonna bring out what I want to bring out."
Oh, no. Well, the thing is that I don't want to share that Carvel cake. I could get it on my own.
I'm right there in that same exact boat.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the best cake. Like, who wants to, like, when you get that Carvel cake.
I had a Carvel cake for my birthday, and it was just me eating it, so.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. And that's something that I'm willing to do. I'm willing to do with you, Brandon. So, not sharing the Carvel cake. So, yeah, it was very good. Actually, Dan was up visiting, so me, him, and Chris got to meet up and hang out a bit. We watched a little bit of AEW, but mostly just relaxing, watched some South Park. And then, let's see. And then we, let's see. Oh, I hung out with my parents and watch the Knicks game, and the Knicks are on quite the roll right now. Danhausen, right now, what is it, 11-0?
I mean,
I think they're at 11-0 right now. It's just incredible everything that's taking place. The first time in the NBA Finals since 1999. So last time they were in the Finals, I was having my bar mitzvah, and Brandon was having his Sonny action figure given to Chris, apparently, allegedly.
On my birthday.
Allegedly. Yeah. Yeah. Sad stuff. Sad stories. Bad memories. So, yeah, but it was a great, great birthday. Actually, Friday night, I did nothing. Friday night, I did absolutely nothing. I was so tired from the work week. I got home. I got home. I turned on Harry Potter.
Didn't you turn on SmackDown? I went to my couch. Turn it off.
I don't even think I turned on SmackDown.
I could Did swear I? You said, I'm turning this off. I was like, you have one more match left.
Actually, I may have had SmackDown in the background of me like responding to student emails and everything. I probably had it on the background, and I was probably talking to you about it. And then I just got so tired. I'm like, I'm not even paying attention to what's on TV. I'm like, you know what? I'm done with my emails. I'm closing this. I'm turning off my phone. I'm just going to turn on some Harry Potter, because apparently I never saw the Deathly Hallows. I saw part one, or I like saw bits and yeah, I saw bits and pieces of the part one, but I don't think I ever saw it like fully, or at least without my attention, because usually when I'm watching movies, I am responding to emails or doing so many different things where I'm not actually focused on the movie, where Brandon has told me that's not the way that you're supposed to watch a movie. So I actually did watch the movie. I turned my phone upside down, didn't have access to it, and I just enjoyed it. And honestly, it was exactly what I needed. Sometimes I need to decompress and get away from everybody, so it was very nice.
But I assume you did that for Saturday night's main event as well?
No, Saturday night's main event was strictly Knicks.
Which, by the way...
Strictly Knicks.
I mean, obviously it's a hard thing to switch back and forth and compete against. I had both on. I don't watch basketball.
Really?
I needed to get a TikTok video out there.
Oh, that's funny.
But Saturday night's main event took place. There were no celebrities, no past superstars, and I don't like when they don't do that.
Yeah. Wait, did you have a good week?
Yeah, I didn't really do anything, so.
Okay.
But thank you so much for asking.
Of course, of course. Yes, and I agree with you. It's kind of like weird when you have Saturday night's main event, but you don't bring back any of the vintage people and stuff like that. But on the other hand, I guess it is like you want it to carry over where it's not like, I don't know. You don't want it to be seen as a total throwback always, do you?
I know. It's fun to see them. It's fun to celebrate them. It's not like they're involved or anything like that. I just think it's a cool, like, oh my God, so-and-so's watching this match. I think that's awesome. I mean, that brings it back to like the old NXT days where you'd have, I don't know, anybody. Mick Foley would be sitting ringside watching NXT take over Brooklyn.
No, I totally get it, but I don't know if they want to have Saturday Night Main Event be viewed as like an old show anymore.
I don't know, yeah. Especially I mean, because the theme like, song it looks is more new, modern. So I completely understand that. Well, new as in two Saturday Night's Main Events ago, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think we're going to see Mick Foley on WWE television anytime soon.
Definitely not, and I hope we don't see him wrestle. I truly don't. I don't care if he's feeling good or what. I don't. If you got concussed working out or bumping once or whatever without even realizing you got concussed, I really, truly, truly hope for his health he thinks it through.
I know. I agree. And, you know, you're going to have so many people, oh, he should wrestle and this and that. He could do this and he doesn't have to take a bump. And I'm like, at his age, and I know about Ric Flair and everything, and this same thing goes with all of them. At a certain age, you really have to look at what they're doing. And, you know, we've stepped into a ring before. It's solid. Even if you take a bump, that's solid. You know, and I don't know. We care about them, and we don't want to see any damage and stuff happen to them. So, yeah, I really hope not. Yeah, any further damage.
But Saturday night's main event, it kicked off Jade Cargill, B-Fab, and Mia Yim, just like I had said, taking on and picking up the victory over Rhea Ripley and Charlexa in a pretty even match. But I very much so appreciated getting to see Mia Yim actually wrestle here.
Yeah, I was actually surprised by this outcome, but like I said last week, I'm happy by this outcome. Like, you called it, but I'm happy that this happened. And like you said, Mia Yim got the show off too. And I think B-Fab.
Yeah, B-Fab as well. Good, yeah, I mean, Mia Yim reversed a riptide. She reversed the electric chair drop with that poison Rana. B-Fab reversed the Sister Abigail DDT. I have absolutely.
And you know what?
That one spot, I have no idea what Flair was about to do that led to the Styles clash from Mia Yim. But I think it was cool to see her use that as well and pay homage to AJ Styles.
Yeah, I mean, me and you saw a lot in B-Fab after that ladder match that she... I forgot who she had the ladder match with. Maybe Parker? I forgot who she had the ladder match with on NXT, and then they released her. But you saw so much potential within B-Fab in that match alone. So I'm really happy to see that she got to be in action on this this episode, too.
At one point, Rhea Ripley and Charlexa celebrated, and Jade Cargill got in there, took all of them out, and then Rhea Ripley ate Jaded to lose the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next up, you had Sol Ruka pick up the victory over Becky Lynch, but it was by disqualification.
Becky Lynch attacked Sol Ruka before the match, and it led to Becky arguing with Jessica Carr. And Sol Ruka at one point goes for the Soul Snatcher. Becky Lynch pulled Jessica Carr right into Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka lands. It was a messy ending, and everyone's like, botch, botch, she botched, blah, 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 botch, she sucks. Sol Ruka sucks. Go back to NXT, she sucks. And it's like, brother.
Yeah, I mean.
It's clearly if you meant look to at have it, happened the way it happened. I don't know if obviously she was supposed to go for a Soul Snatcher or what, but it happened, and it, like. It was a DQ and even, anyway.
And even still, the her doing that move, the referee wasn't in position for her to do the soul snatcher and everything like that. And I thought that it's okay. Like, why is everybody just hating on Sol Ruka for really no reason? Just five months ago or longer, the same people, oh my God, I love her finisher, best finisher in the business, this and that. And now everybody's, like, cut it out.
And then Becky Lynch attacks Sol Ruka after the match. It sets up a rematch for the championship in Italy. I think what they actually did in the match, I thought was good.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I thought it was very good.
And people calling the end of the match, or people calling the end of the match a botch, I honestly think they're straight up dumb.
I don't think, like, how is the end of the match a botch? Like, maybe there was a botch, but the ending wasn't a botch. I believe it happened exactly as it should. You know? But next up, you had Penta pick up the victory over Ethan Page to retain his championship. Yeah, it was a very good match. The fans were actually behind it a lot too.
First of all, before we even speak about the match, I couldn't help but think Penta's gear was maybe a tribute to Owen Hart. Like, the whole match, all I could think about was that. It was literally like the Blue Blazer colors. It was 27 years to the day that Owen passed away.
That's so crazy.
Whether it was or wasn't, I don't know. But it gave me goosebumps.
It just so happens. Actually, did I watch the Hulk Hogan documentary? I may have watched it last weekend.
Right.
But I didn't realize that it was so close to. It didn't occur to me that everything was so close to. Oh, no, that's what I watched. I watched the Vince McMahon documentary. That's why. I watched a documentary of Vince McMahon, and they brought up the Owen Hart stuff, and it didn't even occur to me that it was the same time as the tragic accident. And just watching everything with Over the Edge, like, it's just mind-boggling, and I don't know. It just leaves such a sour taste in your mouth and emptiness in your stomach when you think and see all of that stuff, you know?
They took out the ego portion of Ethan Page's theme song, and I dislike that.
Why?
It's irks like his the go-to. Absolute hell out of me not hearing the ego part. It's like, I don't know why. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
I thought the match, though, was well done. Ethan Page at one point took the turnbuckle pad off, and the referee was dealing with that. He pulled another one off. Penta got sent into it, but he kicked out. He tried to send Penta into it again. Penta stopped it, and then he ends up getting... He went to do a shoulder move. He went shoulder first into the exposed turnbuckle, and then he ate a Mexican Destroyer to lose the match. So I thought this was a really well done match, probably the best match of the night.
Yeah. Next up, you had Brie and Paige pick the victory over the Irresistible Forces to retain their championships. It was okay for me.
I didn't like how this match opened. I liked the actual match. I just didn't like the start of this match. It was just too chaotic. There was no control. It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, the start of the match was a little bit all over the place at times.
When Nia Jackson,
I'm still
Lash
not sold
Legend,
on Brie and Paige.
Say that again?
I'm still not sold on Brie and Paige.
When Nia and Lash hit their finisher, I thought that was about to be over, and I was really hoping that Paige and Brie were going to retain, but Paige dropkicked Lash Legend into the pin. She got into the match, rolled Nia Jax up, and Brie Bella ends up putting pressure onto Paige's back to get extra support, I guess, on that pin. So they did cheat to win, but whatever.
Yeah.
After that, we saw the Vision in the main event pick up the victory over the Street Profits to retain the tag team championships. I think it was nice to see the tag team championships defended in the main event.
I agree with you, especially because of how just the other week we were talking about how they had no tag team division. So it was nice to see that they actually were in the main event of this.
The fans chanted the match was awesome. I wasn't feeling this.
I would concur. Something wasn't feeling right for me.
Breaker showed up. Dawkins ends up pouncing him over the table. I thought that was a great spot. Ford hit the frog splash, and Logan Paul got Austin Theory's leg on the rope. That broke the pin. Logan ends up using brass knuckles, and Austin Theory got the win off of that. I thought the ending of this match was good, but I didn't really like the match. Bron Breakker took the Street Profits out afterwards, and then we found out on Monday Night Raw that Logan Paul tore his tricep. He had surgery, successful. He's going to be out for some time. And Austin Theory
sucks.
Theory questioned Paul Heyman what he should do with the title, and Paul's like, brother, you're in the Vision. The Vision defends the titles, so he'll be defending the titles with Bron Breakker, if that comes up.
Yeah, totally sucks that that happened too. I mean, I don't care what people say. Logan Paul is fantastic.
Yeah, it was weird seeing people celebrate an injury like that.
They were I'm saying they were celebrating it as if I should be surprised by the actions of the IWC. I mean, did you see the scar? Well, I guess the surgery site.
I did. That was disgusting.
It's gnarly, just totally gnarly. And yeah, wishing him a speedy recovery, but he's going to be out for at least 6 months rehabbing that. Feel really bad for him.
So we move over to Monday Night Raw with Paul Heyman opening the show. And he said that he's there to hype up the crowd for a match that doesn't need any hype. And I thought that was a very good way to hype up the match. They played a video of Brock Lesnar talking to Obafemi, or addressing Obafemi, I should say. And Brock said Oba beat him so bad at WrestleMania that he said that he's done, but it didn't sit right with him. And he said Oba's going to get his ass kicked by an old retired beast. Paul Heyman said Obafemi has awakened that beast. Oba came out, asked Paul Heyman what he thinks about that awakening him. And he said that he'll retire Brock for a second time.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a great setup and everything. And I really like this fact how he came out, he cut a great promo. And I liked Heyman's introduction to just Monday Night Raw. Like, he got the crowd really involved and hyped for it, you know?
And Obafemi said that he was fighting to beat Brock last time. Now he's fighting to kill Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First match of the night, you had Penta pick the victory over Javon Evans to retain his championship. And, I mean, this was my favorite match of the night.
Yeah, it was fun. Javon went for that OG cutter right away. Penta blocked it. I think they had really good back and forth. And that reverse to Javon's suicide dive into the commentary table was absolutely wild.
It was incredible.
And then
everything
Evans,
that they did in this match.
Evans hits the OG cutter. Penta kicks out of that. He hits another one on the apron. And then he went for another one. Penta kicks him midair. I thought that was a great reversal. He went for another one a bit mm-hmm. after that. And Penta hit the double knees, the backbreaker, back cracker, whatever, and hit the destroyer. Got the victory off of that. And then later on, Rey Mysterio picks up the victory over Rusev to become number one contender for the Intercontinental Championship. Penta tried to set up a match with Rey Mysterio. Rusev wasn't having it. Ethan Page wasn't having it. He did commentary here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is why I would have preferred for Rey Mysterio to not have been named the general manager of AAA. Because he's still active and wrestling. I don't know of any other general managers that are still actively wrestling. While they were general manager, even? I mean, Timothy Thatcher might have matches still, but I don't think he has matches in Evolve. I don't think. I'm not 100% sure.
I can't think of anybody.
Obviously, Stone, I don't think he's wrestled since becoming the general manager, but Santino, he has some matches. He wrestled this week, so.
Yeah.
But Ray is, like, full-on active.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about the ending of this match. Rusev caught the 619, then Ray was able to just roll him up and win.
Mm-hmm.
Eh. They did repeat that spot from, what was it, Ray versus Kurt Angle? From 2002.
Yeah.
But Rusev attacked Rey Mysterio after the match. Dragon Lee made the save. Ethan Page got involved, and Dragon Lee took both of them out. And then Rey actually hit the 619. I thought that was a fun outcome over there.
I totally agree with you. It was a great outcome over there.
We had Joe Hendry singing that Logan Paul song. And Austin Theory, based off of what Paul Heyman had said earlier, attacked Joe Hendry. And he smacked Joe Hendry with a chair against the ring post. Takes him out. Paul Heyman basically told him, like, you got to take out who's hunting us. And then backstage, we see Seth Rollins willing to work with the Street Profits to get rid of the Vision because of that.
And I don't know, like, I'm over this song.
It's a catchy tune.
It's very catchy, but, I mean, what are we going to do with it now?
Now they're not doing anything. He got taken out.
Yeah, like, he got taken out. I mean, I feel like this is only going to rush what seems like Montez Ford and Dawkins breaking up.
Well,
but on the other hand, we were just saying how we don't have as many tag teams.
That segment led to Montez Ford challenging Seth Rollins, and then later on we saw Seth pick up the victory over Montez Ford. Maybe, like you were saying, perhaps this was a way to test to see if they could actually push Montez to that next level as a solo competitor. And they mm-hmm. made it look like Montez Ford could win here, but I feel like everyone had to probably assume that Seth was going to be the one walking out the victor, but I thought this was a good match.
I agree with you. I thought that they both definitely delivered very strong in this matchup.
They also paid homage in this match. They did that spot with Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch from WrestleMania 38, the sequence, where Seth went for the manhandle slam, and then Montez Ford reversed it, went for the KOD. And then instead of turning it into a manhandle slam, Seth turned it into a pedigree.
Mm.
I like that. And then after the match, Austin Theory took out Dawkins with a chair. Awful, absolutely awful camera angle.
Yeah.
That angle was just garbage. I don't know. I honestly don't know if either direction would have been fine, but or which direction would have been better. Obviously, the one that they went with was, like, obviously you could see, like, big time missed.
Yeah.
But Ford finally agreed to work with Seth Rollins. Austin Theory got kicked out of Monday Night Raw for doing that. And then Maxine, giving Austin Theory the eyes before she left, we've been seeing her in the back if you've been, like, paying attention. She's been with Austin Theory for a few weeks now, like, behind the scenes. I'm not liking that one bit. I don't want to see the Alpha Babes, like, go away.
I don't know what's going to happen to them if she leaves their, like, group.
I
don't know what's going to happen to the two.
I think it would be absolutely insane and absolutely incredible if Otis and Tozawa beat the Vision for those tag titles. I don't see it happening, but
it would be great. But then what?
I mean, then you just have somebody else chase the title, something else. I have no idea.
That's the thing. Who's next? Like, who's the next heel tag team that would step in there? Because you need a heel tag team. I mean, the only thing that comes to mind is the people that you just had go to AAA.
Yeah, I mean, Los Garza is an option right now. Hopefully.
I mean, they just got wiped out by Oba.
Yeah, I wouldn't say just. It wasn't just. It was a few weeks ago at this point. And we're not saying the titles are changing anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, next up you had Bayley and Lyra pick up the victory over the Judgment Day.
Who attacked?
I actually really like this match.
They attacked beforehand.
Yeah, they attacked beforehand.
Bayley and Lyra got the upper hand.
Yeah, I like that part.
And I honestly, you said you liked it. I would have liked more from this match.
What's funny is this match, I feel like every match that I'm seeing that involves Judgment Day, I'm becoming more and more over with Raquel Rodriguez. Like, I'm seeing stuff from her, and I'm like, you can see that she's really getting much better in the ring and stuff. And I'm getting really excited to see her on a solo run at some point. But I'm noticing improvements with her.
Liv got involved again. She got kicked from ringside. And she instructed Dominic Mysterio to cheat, which allowed for Raquel to dump Bayley off the top rope. She kicked out of the Pop Rocks, though. I thought that was about to be the end of the match. Dom ends up throwing the Mega Championship in the ring. And Bayley ends up in a tug of war with Roxanne over it. She ends up accidentally clocking. She, as in Roxanne, ends up accidentally clocking Dom off the apron with that title. And then from that, Bayley was able to get the victory.
I kind of like the ending.
I had no problem with that ending.
Yeah. It seemed like a good ending.
Did you say it seemed next like I did?
No, it seemed like a good ending.
Oh, I thought... After that, we had LA Knight come out.
Like,
what?
No, yeah, it seemed like you liked it.
LA Knight came out, and he announced that the King and Queen of the Ring starts next week. And he's throwing his name in it. He spoke about the Usos. Jimmy came out. They went back and forth. And LA Knight said that he doesn't want to see them fall back into their old ways. He brought up Jacob Fatu, and Jimmy's like, that's family business. But if you keep it up, their family will become his business. And then LA Knight said something about Roman Reigns and needing Paul Heyman and the Usos to get things done. I don't know where that's going to be leading to, but it would be tremendous if this leads to LA Knight becoming the King of the Ring, and then that's the next like matchup is LA Knight versus Roman Reigns. It'd be great to see LA Knight win the championship. You hear the fans, they're still behind him. 100% they're still behind LA Knight here.
I know. It's I feel like they're just looking for the part to bring him in, because where you think, like, where you see everything taking place, the action, you can't really put LA Knight in there right now. Like, with the Roman Reigns and Fatu stuff, you can't put LA Knight right in between them right now. And
right, I mean,
I don't know. Hopefully he gets a shot at some point.
Yeah, and then later on to close Monday Night Raw, you have the Tribal Combat contract signing. Jacob Fatu destroyed the whole setup after he signed, and then security got in the ring, and Roman Reigns came out. He signed the contract. He made security leave. He made Adam Pearce leave. And he said that since Fatu signed, they can't touch. He can't touch Roman Reigns. Roman also said that all Jacob Fatu had to do at Backlash was acknowledge him. And Jacob Fatu was like, no. He credited Roman for the bloodline being on top and where they are right now. He also said that Roman bent the rules as well at Backlash mm-hmm. in order to beat him. That wasn't code of the bloodline. And now anything goes. Roman said that if Jacob Fatu wins, he becomes the leader and Roman will follow him. But if he can't, he's going to be serving Roman. And Jacob Fatu said that when he wins, everyone will learn to acknowledge him. I can't see Jacob Fatu winning this championship, but like I said the last time at Backlash, I would love nothing more than to see Jacob Fatu win that championship.
Same.
So.
Same here. I cannot see it happening, but I would definitely mark for it. I kind of like how they ended forehead to forehead.
Yeah. That was, and I mean, that's without, like, you could see it's like a family business sort of thing.
Yeah, and what I liked the most about that forehead to forehead was that there was no cheap shots. You know, it wasn't like we go forehead to forehead. That's true, but you didn't have any aggression though. You know, it wasn't them like mouthing off like right in front of each other's faces. It was like forehead to forehead, and then it just cut slowly to the end of the show. I thought that was done really well.
Yeah. So moving on to
some NXT, Kalani Jordan picked up the victory over Ren Sinclair. Happy to see Kalani Jordan pick up that victory because I always get stuck in this predicament where I put over the winner of the matchup and then I look at mm-hmm. the other person in the matchup and I'm like, the other person has such great potential too. Like the NXT women's locker room is just stacked.
Kalani attacked before the match. Good. The fans were split, but like at first I was like, oh, they're fully behind Ren Sinclair in this match. But then you got a lot of Kalani Jordan chants as well.
Yeah.
I liked the spot where Kalani went to attack Ren's leg and then or against the ring post. And then Ren like pulled her in to the ring post instead. I thought that was a well done spot. Kalani, I think, controlled a lot of this match and eventually makes Ren Sinclair tap out. Shayna Baszler is like, brother, we trained together. What did you think was going to happen? She's going to start using mm-hmm. more submission moves. I thought it was interesting because typically we're seeing Ren Sinclair use all the submission stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, Dark State come out and they spoke about all being, I think they all are Division I athletes. I'm not 100% sure. And they were like, but Saquon Sugars is just an indie guy, just an indie wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And Cutler cut a promo, or part of this said he became a liability. It was too reckless. And they put the tag team division on notice. And then later on, they end up attacking Miles Bourne and Tavion Heights. And then to close out the show, you saw, as they were leaving, you saw Saquon on top of that truck just staring at them.
Yeah.
We had Sean Legacy versus Dorian Van Dukes go to a time limit draw for the speed tournament. Legacy controlled most of this match, and I was honestly very surprised to see this end in a tie. There were like seconds left. I was like, how is this clearly about to not have a finish here? And then later on, we had Romeo Moreno pick up the victory over Nathan Fraser to advance in that speed tournament to literally to the finals to face Lexus King. Very, very fast-paced match, and it literally came down to the absolute like last second, maybe the last 2 seconds or so of this match.
Romeo reversed Nathan Fraser into a pin and got the victory. But I honestly thought this would have been when they did that spot where the previous match, Sean Legacy and Van Dukes went to a no contest, time limit draw. It would have worked so incredibly well for Lexus King's character if both matches ended up in a draw and he like ends up thinking like, oh, I'm not going to have to defend this title. But now we're going to be seeing Moreno versus Lexus King for that championship. I have to assume King is walking out as champion still. But I'm not 100% sure. They're pushing new talent here, so who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. Very true. But next up, you had
Jada Parker pick up the victory over Layla Diggs.
Oh. Yep.
Natty came out with Layla Diggs, which I wish she had more offense here. We did see some of her unique moveset. She did do the moonsault. She missed the moonsault, but we still got to see it. And Jada Parker got the victory off of that.
Now, Jada Parker is another one who's going to do great things.
After that, Tony D'Angelo came out and addressed Cam Hendricks. And he said he won't become champion next week. And then he called out Naraku. And Naraku said that he's in NXT to keep Tony D'Angelo and the championship safe. And then Cam Hendricks came out, spoke about next week. I think he's very good on the mic. That was a very, very good segment from Cam Hendricks there. And when Tony D'Angelo went to leave, Hendricks went to attack him. Naraku stops him and takes him out. And then also backstage, Mason Rook was talking to Robert Stone, and I popped at him saying, like, I forget exactly what he said, but it was like he didn't want to say good job to Rook for taking Cam Hendricks out last week. Because he's the general manager, but it was like he was happy to have seen that. But Rook also said he might have to interrupt next week, and Naraku was like, no, you will not be doing that next week.
Nah. But next up, you had
OTM versus the Culling. The match didn't even happen, so that's fine. Yeah, right before the match, exactly. Nico Vance had not even seen Sean Spears, and then Spears ended up attacking OTM with a chair, and Nico didn't seem too keen on that. So I don't want to see the Culling break up.
I mean, they've been together long enough.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Next up, you had Shiloh Hill pick up the victory over Charlie Dempsey.
Dempsey,
good match.
Chopped Shiloh Hill. It caused Shiloh to kind of snap, and he reversed the suplex, won off of that. And then Tristan Angels came out to teach Shiloh a lesson and announce a Mr. NXT pageant will happen in 2 weeks. You got a bunch of names on that petition for Shiloh to become Mr. NXT. He's got some hopeful signatures, including Carl Anthony Towns and Mike Tyson and Hornswoggle. So I think that's pretty funny. And then the main event saw Lola Vice pick up the victory over Izzy Dame to retain the championship. Sean Spears got involved here. OTM came out and brawled with the Culling to the back. I like the match. Izzy Dame accidentally took the referee out. I thought that was a very good referee spot. And Lola Vice ends up hitting that back fist on Izzy Dame. The referee came to just in time for Izzy Dame to kick out at two. And then Izzy Dame got the championship in the match to use. She kicks it into Lola Vice's head. And Lola kicks out last second. Izzy Dame gets put in a submission. She gets out of the submission and then eats a back fist. And that's when Lola Vice won the match. Like you said before, man, that the NXT, I don't like saying the NXT women's roster. I just like saying the WWE women's roster is like top notch.
Mm-hmm.
But NXT, we see it certainly pushed a lot more.
Yeah, I think that the NXT, I mean, I don't really, you're right about the main roster, but I feel like the NXT, I always say that just because the potential You know, at some point, the women that are on the main roster now aren't going to be there. And right. they're going to need spots to be filled. And that's where the people like Rent Sinclair are going to come up and fill those spots.
Hopefully.
And it's going to be very well done.
So that's NXT moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with Jade Cargill, Mia Yim, B-Fab. Great, great heat from the crowd there. But Rhea Ripley interrupted. Charlexa eventually came out. Alexa Bliss was crazy over in Barcelona. Nick Aldis sets up a match. Jade Cargill picks up the victory over Alexa Bliss. But it was great to hear a crowd so hot for Alexa Bliss. There was just no way she was going to be winning that match. B-Fab, Mia Yim, obviously they get involved. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte brawl with them to the back. Alexa Bliss did take control from there, but Jade Cargill got her knees up when Alexa Bliss went for Twisted Bliss. She hit the pump kick. She hit Jaded, gets the victory there. And then afterwards, she hit Jaded again onto a steel chair. Charlotte and Rhea Ripley ran back down, but the damage was already done there. I liked that match. Afterwards, we saw Axiom pick up the victory over The Miz. Miz tried to get out of this because Kit Wilson was not there. Nick Aldis was like, absolutely not. He's not in the match. You are. Axiom, home country pop big time here throughout the match. Miz tried to leave, but Nathan Fraser stopped him. Miz, we saw block a golden ratio. He went for that springboard. Miz got caught in the, an attempted submission hold. Miz got out of that. The lights kept going out during the match, though. So, one would only assume it was Danhausen. It allowed for Axiom to actually hit the Spanish fly, hit a golden ratio, and get the victory there. And then backstage, Miz threatened to sue Nick Aldis over the lights. And Nick Aldis went to go speak to Danhausen. Miz went in hot. Danhausen was putting out a fire, sprayed Miz in the face with a fire extinguisher. I thought that was hilarious. We saw the MFT pick up the victory over Damian Priest and Royce Keyes. R-Truth set this match up because he's still not cleared. Damian Priest still doesn't trust or still didn't trust Royce Keyes. They did work together, though. I liked when Damian Priest took on the MFT by himself at that one point, though. Referee was distracted with Royce Keyes at one point. Solo hit the Samoan Spike on him, on Damian Priest. And then R-Truth ran down, fought with Solo. Keyes stopped Solo Sikoa from hitting the Samoan Spike onto R-Truth. But with that distraction, Tala Tonga was able to get the victory over Damian Priest. Earlier, we saw Sami Zayn speak to Cody Rhodes, and he said that the reason why he didn't help him last week was so Cody could learn from it. And then he spoke to Johnny Gargano. Obviously a completely one-sided conversation there. Matt Cardona basically told him he needs to get a grip. And that led to a match setup. I liked Matt saying that he's been back for 5 months and things haven't gone his way either. I like that inclusion. But Sami Zayn goes on to defeat Matt Cardona. Fans were split here. Cardona hit a rough rider. Sami got his foot on the rope. That was Matt's probably best shot at winning the match. And a bit after that, Sami Zayn hit the exploder. He hit the Huluva kick, got the victory. We had Trick Williams and Lil Yachty come out. Trick declared for the King of the Ring tournament. Melo came out and put Trick's King of the Ring plans down. And then said he's going to take care of Ricky Saints and then focus on the U.S. Championship. They went back and forth. Ricky Saints came out and said that after he's done with Carmelo Hayes, he's coming for the United States Championship. Trick told him to shut up. Ricky kept going and Trick slapped the heck out of Ricky Saints. Then we go to the match. Ricky Saints versus Carmelo Hayes ends in a double countout. I think they had good back and forth. Melo, I feel like, definitely had more control of the match than Ricky Saints. But overall, it was pretty even throughout. I liked the spot where Carmelo Hayes got knocked down outside. Ricky Saints took that time right before a commercial break to just taunt. Perhaps he should have been more on Melo, but I like that spot. And I thought the slap spot was good. I also really liked that pin counter that Melo did when Ricky Saints set up for that Revolution DDT. I thought that it was such a smooth pin from Carmelo Hayes. But Ricky Saints, they're fighting outside. They prevent one another from getting into the ring. Saints attacked Carmelo Hayes after the match, and Carmelo Hayes came out on top. We had Chelsea Green pick up the victory over Nia Jax. Earlier, Chelsea Green had tried to get Tiffany Stratton to come out with her. Tiffany Stratton said no. And then later on, right before the match, Nia Jax and Lash Legend spoke trash to Tiffany Stratton. And the actual match, Nia Jax, obviously, she's controlling most of it. Chelsea Green did get the upper hand at one point. And Lash Legend got involved. That distracted Tiffany Stratton. And then when the referee was distracted with Lash Legend, Tiffany Stratton came out, clocked Nia Jax with the U.S. Championship, and then Chelsea Green was just able to pin Nia Jax and get the victory over that. And then Chelsea went to go hug Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton's still not having it. But I thought that was a very good spot there to have Chelsea Green get that victory over Nia Jax and continue whatever they're doing with Chelsea and Tiffany Stratton. To close SmackDown, we had Gunther and Cody Rhodes face off. I liked earlier Gunther told Nick Aldis that he was going to attack Cody, but do that verbally. In the actual segment, Gunther said that Cody makes SmackDown all about him, but he grew up in the business, so it's not his fault. Meanwhile, Gunther worked his way to get to WWE. Cody could just make a phone call. He also called Cody a mark for himself. And Cody called Gunther a liar and said there's no way Gunther doesn't want everything that comes with being WWE champion. And he said he knows Gunther wants it because of the shape that he's in. Because he's not in front of a small indie crowd. And they went back and forth. Gunther brought up again Goldberg, AJ Styles, and John Cena. I thought this was good back and forth. So that is SmackDown. Going to do predictions for Clash in Italy taking place at the Enalpi Arena in Turin, Italy. First time live in Italy in quite some time, I believe. The only non-championship match, Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar. I'm going to say Brock Lesnar wins this one.
Yeah, I'm going to say Brock Lesnar wins, you know. Heading over to the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. On the line, Becky Lynch defending against Sol Ruka. I think it's going to be Becky Lynch.
I kind of feel like it has to be Sol Ruka, so I'm going to say Sol Ruka.
I would like it to be Sol Ruka. I don't know. I would like it to be.
For the World Heavyweight Championship, Tribal Combat match, I think that's taking place on ESPN. I'm not 100% sure. Roman Reigns, the champion, defending the championship against the challenger, Jacob Fatu. I think it's safe to say Roman Reigns here. But, like, I just don't want to see...
I feel like all of these, like... Yeah, I'll go with Roman Reigns, too. I feel like all of these, no matter what, like... The opponents against the champions, I'm okay with any of these opponents winning.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Roman Reigns. I don't think we're gonna have any surprise interferences. I don't think so.
For the women's WWE championship, women's? Rhea Ripley defending the title against Jade Cargill. I think Rhea Ripley retains. I had no clue she was Italian, by the way.
I didn't know that either.
I heard her talking.
I guess that means that we have...
Talking with Stephanie McMahon. About her Nona.
Does that mean that we have to go with her?
I mean, I'm going with Rhea Ripley regardless. I'm not saying you have to.
I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley. I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley. For the WWE Championship, Cody Rhodes defending against Gunther.
Cody Rhodes.
Let's think this one out. Let's think this one out. How do we get Gunther to Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, though?
We don't. That doesn't happen. It's Obafemi versus Brock Lesnar 3. That's why you pick Brock Lesnar to beat Obafemi there.
Huh.
It literally, there's no Gunther Brock. That's it. Obafemi got that rocket strapped to his back as well. And we're going to watch it happen at SummerSlam.
Well, what happens to Gunther then?
He's facing WWE Champion Cody Rhodes. He's on SmackDown. Brock Lesnar's, although a free agent, Obafemi is on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, but then what?
Different? I don't know.
I mean, also, we have to remember that Paul Heyman owes Gunther for something.
Yeah, we got it. He got it. He's got this match. That's why you need to pay attention and not do emails watching SmackDown.
I know, right? You know what? I'm going to go with Gunther.
We shall see. I think it would be great if he was WWE champion.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Gunther.
So that was our predictions for Clash in Italy. Going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Marking Out.
It's the most professional wrestler, TNA star, and proud member of the system, Brian Myerson. You're listening to Marking Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Marking Out, episode 799. Moving back to AAA from last week, it kicked off with the whole ceremony with Marcelo Pena. The whole roster was ringside. Tejano Jr. was in the ring. Maybe in the ringside. I don't remember. Chessman was there. Cibernetico. Yeah, they were in the ring. Dorian Roldan was also in the ring. We found out the new general manager, like I had said earlier, Rey Mysterio. And like I said, I would have preferred for him to not have been the new general manager. He's not retired. That's my reasoning. There are a bunch of people online I see like trashing Rey Mysterio. I don't get that hate at all, but it seems like Savio Vega will be taking over for Rey Mysterio for commentary and translating. I don't know if that was a one-time deal or what. We'll see, obviously, at the upcoming event. The first match, though, we saw Laredo Kid pick up the victory over Fénix to retain the championship. Their match last time was really, really good. I thought this match was great. I liked Laredo Kid's counter to the Muscle Buster into the pin, but Laredo Kid pretended to be hurt, and when the referee was turned away, he low-blowed Fénix. And then he went to the top rope, he got the pin. Laredo Kid got so much heat here. And Rey Mysterio wasn't happy with the outcome. And Laredo Kid was like, well, a win's a win. And Rey was like, no, you're going to be defending that championship against Fénix again. So I'm very, very interested to hear the crowd react to Laredo Kid here. It almost seems like Fénix has to win that championship. I don't know if I want to see that, but I'm not going to be disappointed if he wins. Yet Los Americanos Hermanos, I could swear to God their names were Los Hermanos Americanos the other week, versus Los Americanos. It ended in a no contest. It was a street fight. The Creeds were advertised for this match. They've been in this feud in Mexico. So it was kind of goofy that they weren't here. But Hermanos controlled a huge chunk of this match. And I liked, they did a move. They caught Americanos and did the super collider. I thought that was a very, very well done super collider spot there. But Julio hit a double superplex. I thought that was awesome. Ryo saved Bravo from going through a table at one point. Bravo ends up putting Bruto through it. Bravo loaded up his mask. That took too long for me. That was like my one complaint from this match, aside from it not actually having an ending. And just when he was about to win, Original showed up, launched Bravo through a table. Then he put Ryo through the commentary table.
Americano showed up, took out Los Hermanos, and El Grande Americano Original had a picture of Andrea Basarte on his shirt that said fired in Spanish. Americano stopped him from fighting, and then Americano's Hermanos held OG back, and then they both brawled, and my jaw literally could have hit the floor. I was shocked that happened because they have the no touch clause, and whoever touches first, you lose your mask. Rey Mysterio, brand new general manager, came out, said the match is still happening. And then the locker room spilled out, separated them. I saw discourse online where people were like, how dare they do this? And they're going back on their word. Well, Rey Mysterio is a new general manager. It was signed previously. Rey is not that stupid. He's not going to be like, oh, well, guess they're going to both lose their mask. Everybody, take off your mask. You touched. They did it at the same time. So it's pretty stupid to be like, oh, how dare they do this? So I'm looking forward to the event. I'll cover that, obviously, next week. Moving over to Impact Wrestling, it kicked off with Eric Young, Leon Slater, Elijah Kazarian, and Casey Navarro picking up the victory over Mike Santana, The System, and Mustafa Ali in a Champions Challenge match. This eventually got chaotic, and I completely forgot who was legal. I did like that the faces tried to only hit the heels, though. But Mustafa Ali tried to use his championship. The referee stopped that. Casey Navarro ends up pinning Mustafa Ali, gets an international championship match. We saw Tessa Blanchard pick up the victory over Harley Hudson. I thought this was a really good match. And I expected this match to be more one-sided in favor of Tessa. Hudson, I thought, had a very decent showing here of offense. I thought the spot where Hudson was in the corner, Blanchard was choking her. She starts smashing Tessa's head like the reverse way, not like the underway perhaps, into the turnbuckle. I thought that was a great spot. And then Tessa eventually hits that DDT, gets the victory. But I would really, really like to see more matches like this on Impact. We saw Stax pick up the victory over Santino. Stax controlled most of the match. Santino had his comeback. He went to use the Cobra. Ariana Grace stopped that. She took the Cobra off. That distracted Santino. Stax was able to roll up Santino, get the victory there. It went how I thought it would. And then Stax attacked him afterwards. Indy Hartwell ran down to chase Ariana Grace. And like I said the other week, it seemed like this would set up a mixed tag match. Indy Hartwell challenged that to them for that episode of Impact. And Daria Ray came out. She's like, no, it'll happen next week. We saw Fabian Aichner pick up the victory over Eddie Edwards via disqualification. I think it's absolutely great to see Fabian Aichner back in the ring. But Alicia Edwards got involved. She went to go use a kendo stick. The referee caught her. Gets kicked from ringside. Aichner hit that butterfly suplex from the top rope. I thought that was nice. And then the System made their way out. Aichner dives out onto them to take them down. Hits that springboard DDT on Eddie Edwards. And then uses that chokehold. You think that's about to be it? The System jumps him. I would have preferred to just see the ending be the ending. I don't think they needed a DQ ending there. The main event saw Xia Brookside, Mara Sade, and Elena Black pick up the victory over the Elegance Brand and Lei Ying Li in another Knockouts Champions Challenge match. Like the opening match, this was chaotic. But I'm a big fan of the Elegance Brand. I would like to see them more on television. We talk about tag team divisions. I think they are a tremendous team. So I do hope to see them used more. That coast to coast from M by Elegance I thought was great. And throughout the match, they basically refused to tag Lei Ying Li in. Heather finally tags her in. Mr. Elegance tried to get involved. Keith Jardine, who was there again, stopped it. The personal concierge got involved and he got walked to the back. And then to end the match, Mr. Elegance tripped Lei Ying Li. Brookside got the victory off of that, but she tripped her into the DDT, and I thought that was really well done. So overall, I was very happy with this episode of Impact. We could have seen different outcomes. We didn't need that DQ. So overall, like I said, I was satisfied with that. But that is TNA Impact. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
Hey there, pal. It's me, Mickey Mouse, and you're listening to Brandon's Shoutouts.
The first shout-out goes to Hax. I had given this a shout-out maybe a month or so ago, but the show just deserves a million shout-outs to me. It's truly one of the best shows in the last at least two decades. Sometimes I'll finish an episode of Hacks and I'll just like really wish that I could have been part of it. It's won a bunch of awards. It's more than just a comedy. There's drama. There's emotion. The whole series is out now streaming on HBO Max. And you really, if you like comedy, you have to watch this show.
What is it about?
Jean Smart plays a comedian, Vegas comedian. She has this huge comeback. Hannah Einbinder helps her get there, and there's ups, there's downs. It's truly one of the best shows.
Does it help that I don't know any of those names that you just said?
I don't know. I mean, Jean Smart's quite famous. Me neither. Hannah Einbinder, I had no clue until this show. She's, as they say, Nepo baby, but whatever. I don't hold that against her.
Why? Who's her parents?
From Saturday Night Live. Her name is escaping me right this second. Lorraine Newman.
I mean, anybody's the other Nepo baby on SNL.
What?
The one that we don't like.
Wait, what?
Who's the character on SNL that we don't like?
No, but why are you bringing her up?
Oh, because another Nepo baby who's in comedy.
Jane Wickline. Oh, okay. I didn't know what you were...
Yeah.
I didn't understand how you were trying to tie that to Lorraine Newman.
It's a long week. I'm tired, dude.
But yeah, check out Hacks on HBO Max. My next is an anti-shout-out.
Oh, snap.
Ladies First. It's a brand new movie on Netflix based on the French Netflix movie titled I Am Not an Easy Man. This stars Sacha Baron Cohen, Rosamund Pike, Emily Mortimer's in it, Richard E. Grant, Tom Davis, Fiona Shaw. I had such high hopes for this movie, but it was honestly such a dud. Sacha Baron Cohen plays a chauvinist who finds himself in an alternate world where power dynamics between genders are reversed. It's as if you take The Family Man and What Women Want and remove absolutely everything meaningful and everything funny and you just get this. If you told me this was written entirely by AI, I would say that's why this movie's like this. Maybe it's because it's an English comedy. I have absolutely no idea, but it's out on Netflix. You could watch it if you feel like it. I would say never in a million years to watch this movie. So,
jeez, wow.
Maybe you would watch it and enjoy it. Who knows?
I mean, likelihood is not too much there.
My final shout out is going to the show Off Campus on Prime Video. It's been out a few weeks now. Literally everybody was talking about it. So I was like, heck it. I'll check it out. It's based on a book series. It's a, what is it? Young adult romance gimmick book. It's about a college student who is trying to get her crush to notice her. And then the star hockey player helps her. She tutors him. I think you could assume where it leads. And it's already picked up for season two. So you don't have to watch a show and enjoy it and then get disappointed when it doesn't get picked up like the Runaways unfortunately did for Amazon Prime.
It sounds like a cute show.
Yeah, I mean, it was entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I meant the runarounds, not the runaways. The runaways is, what's it called? The Joan Jett's band.
No.
But yeah, it's unfortunate that the runarounds didn't get picked up, and I hope, I don't know if Netflix will pick it up or anything, but it'd be great to see that show picked up, because I thought that was a fantastic show, so watch that on Prime as well. But those are my shout-outs. Now it's time for
Our
Mark Out Moment of the Week.
That is right, our Mark Out Moment of the Week. I got to say, given the fact that I just gave the shout-out to Off Campus, in Off Campus, spoiler alert, but not really, but yes, it is a spoiler alert, 7 minutes or so into the very first episode, the woman is running to her class, her music class, classical music class, or whatever you would call it, and the orchestra is playing the song that Gunther uses as his theme song. So, it's funny that, like, you hear that song now and you automatically connect it to Gunther. Sometimes you connect it to Jaws, Baby Shark. Sometimes you connect it to Mercedes Monet. I connect it to Gunther. That's funny. But, obviously, I don't have to say, you already mentioned at the beginning of the show, the whole Danhausen saga with the Knicks.
Oh,
it's huge, like, honestly,
hugely.
He doesn't have to mention the Knicks at all anymore. If they win, they win. If they lose, they lose. But he uncursed the Knicks. When he uncursed the Knicks and then cursed the Cleveland Cavaliers, they swept. That's proof that the curse exists.
Yeah, now it's getting a little bit sticky where we'll see what happens.
But it doesn't matter what happens. Danhausen has nothing to do with this next half of the series, the finals.
Yeah. Somebody's got to start paying him.
And it's, you know, nice to, it's nice misses. To see. It's nice to see. Yes, Danhausen should have the dollars, whatever he says, the real money is real human dollars for something to curse the whoever is in the finals. We don't know yet. But it's nice to see that non-wrestling fans are knowing who Danhausen is, or at least hearing his name and acknowledging it and thinking that it's cool. Some of them are like
I know Chris.
I was going to say some of them are just like, I have no idea what this is. Don't care.
Yeah, I mean, like, me and Chris were talking about it, and Chris's boss even knows about Danhausen now, and not even a wrestling fan. Same thing with Rachel. Not a wrestling fan. Knows all about Danhausen. Same thing with our other friends in the group, and random people are knowing about Danhausen just because of the curse and his appearances on ESPN.
Yeah, my friend messaged me and said if the Knicks win, they're going to have to put two statues outside of the Garden. I was like, well, obviously the first statue you're talking about is Brunson, but who is the second statue? I literally could not fathom a guess as to who he was talking about. And he was like, Danhausen. I was like, oh, that's funny. It's funny I didn't have to bring him up funny. To you.
I saw a funny tweet saying, I think it was, I forgot who it was from, but somebody brought up that if the Knicks win the finals, we have to give Danhausen Staten Island.
Yeah, I saw that too. That's
there's
funny.
There's so many funny things coming out. Like him on SportsCenter, it's funny to watch like the clips of him on ESPN and the commentators, like, or newscasters, whatever you call them.
They're sportscasters.
Playing along with it. Sportscasters playing along and going with everything with Danhausen about the curse and stuff like that. I mean, I marked out for during the basketball games, the commentators, because they brought up it was on ESPN and they brought up the upcoming clash in Italy, and they started talking about who their favorite wrestler was currently, and somebody brought up how they were a big fan of Rhea Ripley. It was just so weird to hear. Huh?
That one person, I don't know who he is, but his tweet went viral saying, oh, they need to really stop doing this. ESPN is sports, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, brother, in the 80s and 90s, they aired pro wrestling on ESPN. In the 90s or in the 2000s, 2010, they aired classics of the wrestling from the 80s and 90s on ESPN classics. Like, and ESPN is they also entertainment.
They also covered roller derby. Like, in so many other entertainment, sports entertainment.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
Yeah, it's...
It's nothing new.
It's not anything new. You're not getting anything new. No. It's just WWE. You're getting WWE content now.
Exactly. And I always mark out for that crossover. I actually did mark out because I'm going to jinx it, but I actually got a new autograph. So I actually got a new Hulk Hogan autograph incoming, and very excited for that.
You didn't receive it yet.
So we will see. Huh?
You didn't receive it yet.
Not yet.
Dumb to mention, we'll see. Because the last time I ordered it, was it the last time I ordered a card and they didn't show up? I've had cards not show up multiple times already, so.
All right, then I'm going to pause.
Pause what?
This autograph, it's a huge autograph on the card. It's a card from WrestleMania 2 with him and King Kong Bundy in the cage. And, yeah, after watching the Hulk Hogan documentary and stuff like that, just a legacy. And, yeah, I also marked out for the Vince McMahon documentary just because I'm not a big documentary fan. Or at least I always say that at times. And then I end up putting on these documentaries. But I'm not, like, I'm doing them. They're easy watches while I'm doing stuff. So I'm doing my emails. I'm cleaning my apartment. I'm doing so much stuff while the documentary is playing. So I'm kind of, like, paying attention here and there. But it was really cool to see just some of the old clips and everything like that. And hearing everybody talk about everything. And it's just, yeah. I always like reliving some of the stuff that the older clips and stuff like that, where I was tempted to turn on some of the older classic WWF matches and everything like that. But yeah,
well, speaking
I marked out for the documentaries.
Speaking of reliving,
mm-hmm.
Disney announced the Carousel of Progress will be getting a full update. And we literally spoke about this a few weeks ago, and I said there was no way in hell they're tearing this thing down. They're just going to be adding Walt Disney to the opening scene. And obviously had no clue at that time that they were going to be doing this, but they're doing a full overhaul. And the current scenes are from the turn of the century, the 1920s, the 1940s, and the 21st century. The new scenes, it opens 1964, Walt Disney talking about the World's Fair and everything, I assume. And then the other four scenes, you have the 1969 moon landing, which I feel is covered in Spaceship Earth and not really necessary for this, but I 100% understand it. I get it completely and how, like, it fits in this timeline. They have Halloween 1985. So, I mean, my Mark Dreams there, my fingers are crossed. It kind of opens the door for somebody to be dressed as a pro wrestler there. New Year's Eve 1999. Which they specifically mention that the grandpa will still be falling asleep and grandma will be tuning into pro wrestling. People still, by the way, think it was a boxing match in the current iteration of Carousel of Progress. The final scene will be the possible future, but pro wrestling. Currently in the 1940s scene, it's a match from 1951. Gypsy Guy LaRoche and René Benchimol. Not accurate. Obviously, the match from 1951 will not possibly be taking place in the 1940s. But if they make this as accurate as possible, there was an episode of ECW television that night where Mike Awesome defeated Masato Tanaka for the ECW championship. I think that's a huge stretch, though, for them to use ECW. If they use grandma sitting there watching TiVo, my grandmother had a TiVo. She's the only person I knew who had a TiVo. If they use a previously recorded match, SmackDown, right, literally the night before. No holds barred, The Rock versus Kane. They could continue to use a match from the wrong year and do something from 2001, which I think would kind of be funny. They could continue using the match from the 1950s, but I'm like devastated.
You should definitely email them.
Attractions Magazine said that they saw an unreleased concept art thing from Disney, and it looked like it was going to be Dwayne The Rock Johnson on the TV. So The Rock's about to become a Disney legend this year, so it would not surprise me whatsoever if The Rock is somehow included there. So I think that'd be really cool if it was Kane and The Rock from the night before or something like that. Something that would make sense for the 1990s. I think that would be really cool, but like I was about to say, I'm devastated and excited at the same exact time because, like, I'll never, ever get to experience this iteration of the attraction ever again. But the fact that they went out of their way to mention pro wrestling will stay, I think that's a huge win. And I'm looking forward to this update. They're like, oh, they're taking everything that Walt Disney did, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's progress. It's literally showing us the progress. If you go back to when this was debuting at the World's Fair and then move it up 63 years, that was like 63 years from that. If you move it back up, it's this timeline. So I'm happy to see this update. I hopefully enjoy the show as much as I do now.
And come on. These people complaining, they're just going in there taking a nap anyway.
I saw somebody say that. Like, most of these people are complaining that they just skip it all the time. This is like my number one attraction at Disney World, and I'm saying I'm perfectly fine.
Not for me.
Like, if they, just because of the simple fact that they have The Rock, or maybe The Rock, in there. They went out of their way totally to mention pro wrestling. I really hope WWE works with them here, and we get, like, it'd be stupid for them not to. To, like, have WWE footage, like, featured in Walt Disney World every single day. And The Rock is such a recognizable person, especially since he's in so many Disney projects. It's like a no-brainer to have The Rock in there.
Yeah. I that would be awesome.
So,
you know, I think that's something I don't think I mentioned it, but something that I popped for too that I really marked out for was everything that's taking place also with El Grande Americano heading into that AAA event and everything that's taking just the I mean, they put on a parade for him, the support. He was teary-eyed showing up there. Like, all of that I've been marking out for and following a lot.
Yeah. So that is
really special.
Marking out episode 799. Thank you so much for tuning in. You could follow us on Twitter at Marking Out, at BTTG161 on all platforms, at Chris Sweendog, CMSweeney85, David PTDPT on all platforms, Facebook.com/Marking Out, YouTube and Instagram, Marking Out 11, ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out, at Marking Out on TikTok. You could rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, MarkingOut.com, and we wish you
the
best of luck in your future endeavors. Have a fantastic week.